Is there more to midlife than just getting through it? Absolutely. Welcome. I'm your host, Debbie Cunningham, jazz artist turned midlife mentor, and I'm here to say to you loud and clear, it's time for your midlife crescendo. Hello, friends. Welcome back. We are officially Sweet 16 this week. We made it 4 months, and I'm so grateful to all of you who have been listening and continue to share the podcast. I'm excited about all the upcoming guests we have, starting a Midlife Crescendo book club this summer, and lots more opportunities to build community here in the future. So I'm going to encourage you to sign up for our Midlife Crescendo newsletter so you are first to hear all the news in your inbox. I promise we won't spam you and send you too many emails. Just one a week to keep you updated on all the exciting things happening in the coming year. And that way, if you're behind listening, you don't miss a deadline to sign up for something. Or you don't miss an episode that you really want to listen to. So go to midlifecrescendo.com to sign up. I also want to hear from you. What topics do you want us to cover? Whether you are single, married, divorced, or widowed, how can Midlife Crescendo support you as a midlife female? Send your thoughts and ideas to info@debbiecunningham.net with the subject line Midlife Crescendo. Okay, today on the podcast, we are talking with Becky Beaudoin about motherhood, but not your typical conversation. We talk about ridiculous things people say to new moms, mom guilt, even that which lingers through empty nest, and perfectionism and how we can curate rhythms of grace instead. I really love this chat with her, and I think this is an episode you can share with your adult daughters as well as your mom friends that will spark a deeper discussion. I truly hope you enjoy every minute of my conversation with Becky. Well, hey, everybody. I have with me today on Midlife Crescendo, Becky Beaudoin. Becky is an author, speaker, and former columnist for Chicago's Daily Herald and has been speaking to various audiences for more than 12 years. She loves to weave together personal stories with transformative truths to encourage and equip others who are walking through the ups and downs of everyday life. Wife to Bernie, mom to three daughters, and one son-in-law, the Beaudoins have called Chicago home for more than 20 years. Becky is a friendly introvert, a self-described homebody, and if you're looking for her, she's probably in the kitchen. Welcome, Becky.
Thank you so much, Debbie.
We're so glad to have you here today. Well, Becky, the first question I always ask my guests is, tell us something about yourself that is not on your bio.
Okay, so on my bio, it says that we've lived in Chicago for more than 20 years. We've raised our kids here, but we are actually right in this moment moving back to Michigan, which is where I grew up. So this is a huge transition for us in this midlife season of becoming recent empty nesters. We had always talked about moving back to Michigan, and now two of our daughters actually live there. So it's really coming home for me, but also a really big thing for our family to be able to be closer together.
Well, that's so exciting. I'm so glad that you have a chance to be with your children, and that's always been a dream of yours, and now you can make the choice to cultivate that.
Yes. Yeah. We are very excited. And it's a big thing to leave the life we've had here in Chicago for more than 20 years and friendships and all of that. So it's kind of a mixed bag.
I'm sure it is. And, you know, isn't that midlife in general? We have so many changes as it is, but moving sometimes can be that huge interrupting change in our life in the midst of empty nest.
Yes. Yeah. As we think about this next season, definitely.
So your book is called Enjoy. I should say one of your books is called Enjoy Every Minute and Other Ridiculous Things We Say to Mom. Well, what inspired you to write that?
Well, I spend a lot of time speaking with younger moms. I do a lot of speaking at MOPS groups, mothers of preschoolers. And being able to speak to them and then sit in and listen on their discussion groups, I get sort of like a front row seat to what they're experiencing, it brings me back to what it was like when my kids were little. So I've just picked up things I had started off. I wrote a column for the newspaper that I used to write for, the Chicago's Daily Herald, called Myths of Motherhood. And one of the myths was, or this cliche was, enjoy every minute because the time goes so fast. And now that I'm in midlife, I can see why we say that so often to younger moms, because looking back in the rearview mirror, I have to bite my tongue to not say, oh, it just seems like yesterday my kids were that little, and just don't blink because it goes so fast. But when you are in the thick of it and you are, you know, you've got the babies and the toddlers and the little kids, it's not helpful. And it really doesn't always seem to be going fast when you are kind of in the thick of those years, very demanding years.
Absolutely. I remember they do go by quickly, but the days go by very slowly.
Yes. Yeah. And so I wanted to write a book that would, you know, connect with the younger moms, but also kind of how all of us as moms can help and encourage one another. So I poke some fun at some of those cliches that we say. There's 12 of them in the book. And then, you know, it's a great framework for the book to be able to talk about a lot of the important topics that I wanted to cover. You know,
I love this quote you make in the very beginning of the book, and you talk about how you had motherhood all planned out and how wonderful it was going to go and how your toddlers were not going to be picky eaters and all of these things that were going to go well because you were going to do things differently. And you have this quote, it says, "Turns out being a mom is not the tidy, predictable experience I thought it would be. And reading parenting books while I was pregnant did not equip me for even a fraction of the joys and the challenges I have encountered as a mom." And I think in most jobs, we can study all we want, but there's a huge difference between the real experience, even in parenting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I had very, I'm that kind of person. Like, I will read books. Like, we got a dog 12 years ago, and I had all these books on my nightstand about how to train your dog and all of that. I'm telling you, I wanted to throw those books in the garbage the first week we had our dog home. I was trying to do everything right. And she was not cooperating. She was not doing what she was supposed to be doing. She was crying in her crate every single night. So yeah, you know, it's good to try to be prepared, but the actual reality of what it's like to live it out is oftentimes different than what we're expecting.
Absolutely. What are some of the things you encountered as a mom that felt opposite of what people said to you?
Yeah. Well, the thing about enjoying every minute, you know, I have very much enjoyed being a mom. It was something I really wanted. I was able to stay home with my kids. I didn't start working outside the home until they were all in school. So, I mean, I really did love that, but I can just remember that some of those cliches that were said to me turning into really negative self-talk, like in my head, like, why I should be enjoying this more than I am. What's wrong with me? Why am I finding this to be difficult? And so definitely this idea that it should just be pure bliss and like you should enjoy every minute, right? Some other ones that I encountered, and I would dread it when people say, just wait till they become teenagers. That was another thing, because it kind of would make you think, okay, well, if you think it's hard right now, just wait till they become teenagers. It's going to be even harder. It just filled me with dread. You know? And certainly teenage years have their challenges, but I also found it to be a lot of fun, really. It's when your kids really are they're starting to become more adult-like, and being able to build those relationships with them as they get older. Another thing was stay balanced. We talked all about, you just have to find your balance and stay balanced. And I'm like, so when is that going to happen? Like, when am I actually going to find my balance and then be able to keep it? I think that's another myth.
That's definitely a perpetual problem. I think in every season of life, we have to find a new balance.
Yes. Yeah. It's constantly changing. And then, you know, you can do it all if you just try harder. That was another one that was just keep, you know, you can do it all and have it all if you just try hard enough. And that is just not true. You've got to say yes to certain things and say no to certain things in order to be able to say yes. And then I think one of the other ones was the most important thing is that your kids be happy. That was something that, you know, I've heard people say, all I really want is for my kids to be happy. And the most important thing is that they be happy. And we do want our kids to be happy, but it's not the most important thing because we all will go through seasons where we struggle and that's how we grow. And I have struggled with that as a mom of wanting to step in and maybe rescue or make things easier so that my kids would not struggle. And sometimes it's not the right thing to do as a mom. That's such a hard thing to learn.
I think that's a lifelong learning experience. Even as we age and are in midlife and we have adult children, it's easy even now to want to step in as they become parents or in their marriages.
Yeah.
And really, it's micromanaging what they're doing. And we have the best intent. But honestly, you know, you can go back to that picture of a butterfly. If you don't allow the butterfly to struggle in the, to break through the cocoon, it can never fly on its own. And so we do a disservice by always trying to rescue our kids, you know, in those situations. And they have to work some of those things out themselves so that they can grow just like we did. But yeah, I definitely can relate to that.
Yeah.
Well, I know that sometimes all of that can really perpetuate the pressure of perfectionism. Have you found it that way?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I mean, early on, I've struggled with that forever. And when I talk to moms, I see that, you know, it's almost every time I speak at a mom's group and I sit in and I listen to the conversation, I hear, this is sort of the theme that I hear is just trying so hard, but feeling like it's never enough. I'm never good enough. The biggest fear a lot of moms have is that they're not a good enough mom and they're going to mess up their kids. They're going to mess up. And so there's definitely this, I think this standard that is unreachable, it's way too high. One of the things that I've started sharing that I learned probably about a year ago is this concept called the good enough mother. And it comes from a British pediatrician from the 1950s. He's the one that did research and coined this term. But he says that after his research with thousands of moms with their children and babies, that children actually do best with moms who do not strive for perfectionism, for who do not strive to be perfect, but instead provide an adequate environment. And he says it's actually best when moms fail their children consistently in tolerable ways because it helps to prepare them for the real world. And that is such a different mindset. You know, if we are trying to be perfect and we're trying to create perfect worlds for our children, protect them from suffering so they don't have to struggle, we are setting them up for some real hard stuff as they grow up and then they begin to struggle with perfectionism themselves. So I think it's just, it's something that is a lifelong struggle, can be.
Absolutely. And I, you know, that's so true that we have to allow them to fail. We have to allow them to see our struggles.
Yeah.
And I think even as parents, sometimes we don't want to, I'm not talking about arguing in front of your kids. You need to be in this like a united front when you're talking with your children. But I'm talking about see our struggles because sometimes they learn from that. I remember when my daughter became a mom and I remember her sharing something with me. I don't even remember what it was at the time. And I said, oh, I remember struggling with that. And she went, what? You did? She goes, I just thought you were the perfect mom. It was always a joyful bliss. And I'm like,
yeah,
you get that picture.
But what a gift you gave your daughter to tell her that you struggled with that. Because I think that's something when I talk to moms too, another thing I hear is my mom never seemed to struggle with this. Or my mom, like she had dinner on the table every night and I don't like to cook and I feel like I just can't get it together. Or my mom, you know, I think there's things that our kids just will not know. So I think it's a gift that you gave your daughter to be able to remember that. And something I talk about too is the difference as we are in this season with our, you know, of midlife with either our kids who are older or even other young people in our lives, other young mothers, the difference between reminiscing and remembering. And what we do a lot is reminisce, and that is a very indulgent way of remembering. We're just remembering the best moments, you know, when our kids were the cutest and all of that, but we're not really remembering the whole picture and what it was like and the hard days and, you know, some of the struggles that we had. So I think that's a gift that we can give to the younger moms, is to really remember, just to sit and try to remember what that was like.
Yeah, I know in the book you talk about, I think it was your aunt who came to see you when your kids were little, and like it was chaotic. And she said, wow, it really is about survival.
Yes.
And she remembered it. This season is really about survival. And what a gift she gave you.
Yes.
That was a gift of grace and empathy of where you were sitting. Because I will tell you, when my kids were little, I remember feeling like so discombobulated. Like everything was never organized. I mean, it was sort of organized chaos is what it was. But I've never felt like, again, like other women you've talked about, I never felt like I had it together or like I was all there. And even though I was trying, and striving to get it right, it never felt like I ever arrived at that. And so when older women speak those truths into us in true remembering, the seasons of difficulty, I think that is a gift we can give the younger generation as older women encourage the younger women.
Yeah.
Well, I want to pivot just a little bit and talk about, it goes along with this, but we're living in a culture of perfectly curated views of motherhood on all the social media. And I think that this perpetuates unattainable ideals in motherhood or parenting. And I was wondering, how do we talk about that? How do we encourage women to kind of reframe what they're seeing online?
Yeah, that is a very tricky thing. I struggle with it even just when I go online, because what we're mostly doing is highlighting the very best moments.
Exactly.
You know, when everything is like, oh, this is like a picture perfect moment, I want to capture it and post it. And so when you are seeing other people's lives and it looks like they've just got it all together, they look so happy, their kids look like they get along, their marriage looks like it's great, you're making up all these stories in your head as you see their lives and their snapshots that they're choosing to post. It's not too often that you'll see somebody post a bad, horrible moment and talk about it, because we just don't do that. And sometimes people will, and you know, sometimes it's just like, I'm a hot mess. Here's my life and I'm a hot mess. But I think we can do better than that if we're able to be vulnerable and share some of the hard stuff, but then also share where we are finding hope and grace and strength and all of that. But yeah, it's just, it's not real. And even with AI now, with pictures, you can't even look at a photograph and trust that what you're seeing is actually accurate. Everything is being modified and tweaked and manipulated. Not everything, but a lot of things are.
Yeah, that is actually true. Now, I haven't figured out how to tweak any of my pictures with AI.
Yeah, but that's I knew how to do that.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's talk about mom guilt a little bit and this whole supermom myth, because I know I struggled with it when I was a young mom and just feeling like I had to do all the things. You mentioned in the book that when you were researching mom guilt, even women who were empty nesters were sharing with you that they still had mom guilt.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to share about that?
Well, I can say that I have a lot of mom guilt as an empty nester now. I really do. I think when you're young, that the standard of perfection, thinking you have control. If I do everything right, then my kids are going to turn out right and everything is going to be good. And then you get to this season of life where you're looking back, and the flip side of that is we can blame ourselves then for things that don't turn out well. Well, it must have been something I did. Why do I have one child that's maybe struggling in a particular area? It could be mental health. It could be maybe they're married and struggling in their marriage, or maybe they have an addiction or whatever it might be. And we look at ourselves and say, well, what did I do? You know, and I think that there is, there can be so much guilt that comes even in this season. And we just are not that powerful to be able to take credit for all the good and to blame ourselves at the same time for anything bad that happens. It's a myth. It's just not true.
Well, I think that even mom guilt can be a form of perfectionism. Because again, mm-hmm. we're striving for that perfect outcome, not even our perfect yeah. performance, but now we're looking at a perfect outcome of what our kids do. Of course, there's a lot of comparison. I remember when we had toddlers and like, oh, well, my toddler's doing this. And you're like, oh, well, my toddler's doing this.
Yeah.
Because you feel like this sense of competition, or like you have to show or prove that you're yeah. a good mom too, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of that, even as we, okay, so I'm a grandmother now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's easy to do the same thing. Like, well, my grandson can do this or say this or speak in five languages or run the computer. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? I'm making a joke.
Yes.
It's not speaking five languages.
Yeah.
But I think that even that super mom persona somehow creeps its way into what we're doing now, the older we get. So let's just call it a super woman persona, mm-hmm. that we somehow have to keep striving to be perfect. And so how can we begin to change this conversation? Because I know you talk about this in the book, about changing perfectionism instead of striving for that, but to live in rhythms of grace.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing I wanted to mention that I found super helpful with the mom guilt is to be able to identify when you're feeling some sort of guilt. Is this false guilt? What I would call false guilt, meaning I don't have control over it really. It's something I'm feeling bad about, but I have no control over the situation. That could be when young moms have a baby who's not sleeping or eating well and is colicky, or, you know, a child who's struggling in school or has a learning disability or whatever it might be. It's not your fault. Then there's true guilt, which really is a good thing. It's that conviction that we have that I've done something wrong, but it's very clear and we know what our next step is. We ask for forgiveness. Maybe we'd have to do repair work with the person that we hurt, and there's a next step forward. And then I found women just talking about shame, which is no longer just something I did. It's who I am. That's when moms would say, I feel like I'm a horrible mother. My kids deserve better than to have a mom like me. And so even, you know, all the way through motherhood, I think we can struggle with all three of those types of guilt or experience those. But to be able to identify which it is, to just stop and say, do I have control over this? Is there something specific I did that I need to take an action on? And then you can be forgiven and move forward. Or is this a message of shame that's telling me that I'm not a good mother, that I'm, you know, that I'm bad, kind of this vague sense.
Right.
And God's grace, I think, is the answer for all three of those. But we need clarity to start with, to be able to live in those rhythms of grace. But that phrase really comes from Matthew chapter 11. And I just want to read this because some of us might know this passage of scripture, maybe not, from Matthew 11, where Jesus says, come to me. This is actually the message translation. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. And I kind of write a little bit more about that and what I have experienced that look like in my life. These unforced rhythms of grace as we walk with Jesus, where he's not putting these heavy burdens on us. He's not saying you have to be perfect. You're not good enough. You know, he's not blaming us or giving us credit for whatever in the lives of our kids. He's inviting us to walk with him, to watch him, to learn from him, and to experience his grace when we fail. And I think that is one of the best things we can do for our kids, is to let them see how we handle our own shortcomings and failures.
Yes.
Because if they see that and we can model it and they can see us, you know, live in grace. And that means we say we're sorry when we mess up and we hurt someone's feelings or we do something wrong. We own our stuff. They see us working on the issues that we need to focus on. And I think if they watch that, not only will they see that we're walking in these rhythms of grace, but now they will have something that they can hopefully walk in as well. And when they mess up and when they can't meet the mark, they won't be weighed down by the shame and the guilt and all of that.
Yeah, I remember when our kids were young, actually all the way through their lives, one of the things that I learned to do early was to be able to ask them for my forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So if I had a bad mom moment and lost it because I was so frustrated, I would go to them and say, hey, mom, you know, I am human too, and I need grace, and I asked Jesus to forgive me, but now I'm asking you, will you forgive me for yelling or whatever it was I did? Usually it was overreacting to something. And sometimes I learned to be curious about what was going on with them that caused them to do that thing. So I think it is true that we need to model that for our children and even our adult children. I always say, I always move into that a little bit because this is a midlife podcast, but we need to be continuing to model that for our kids, continuing to be willing to say, hey, I'm sorry. I stepped out of line. I shouldn't have said that. Or I stepped over a boundary. Like that's, I need to let that be between you and your spouse or whatever it is. And I think it's really important that we learn how to say that. So I love that you shared that because I think that is a rhythm of grace that helps us to learn for ourselves and release ourselves from that mom guilt, but also share that with the younger generation.
Yeah. I love how you talked about being curious about what's going on inside of them. Cause I can remember when one of my dad, well, probably all of them, when they were in the teen years, just what I would perceive as just rude, disrespectful behavior. I started to see that underneath that, there was a lot of anxiety. There was other stuff going on. So not to excuse the behavior, but to be able to get curious about, is something going on there? Is there, you know, is there anything else that might be bothering you? And then to be curious about myself as a mom, when I see anger coming out of me, to be able to take the time and say, what is this about? Because usually underneath anger, which is what I've struggled with, I'm very vulnerable about it in the book. I write about, I grew up sort of like in an environment where that's what I learned. I was in training my whole childhood on how to express anger in unhealthy ways. And as much as I didn't want to, you know, continue that, it's just what came very, it comes very natural for me and, you know, to express my anger in a way that's hurtful. So I've worked really hard on that, but to look underneath it, most often when I am angry, underneath it is fear, just fear that I don't know what to do, fear that I'm not in control, that something bad is happening and I can't stop it. It's usually a fear that, you know, if I can get to that and I can bring that to God. And as I've learned to even say to my kids, you know, come back, I'm sorry, you know, we had this conflict. I'm sorry for my part and how I escalated things, maybe with things I said. But what I want you to know is that underneath all of that, I just feel scared. As I've been able to communicate that, I think it's been really good. And it's helped my kids be able to do the same thing.
I love that. I love that you've been able to do that. And it does build intimacy in our relationships with our kids. Obviously, when you have a toddler, you know, there's temper tantrums and things and they're out of control and they can't really communicate what's really underneath all that. But you can get curious about, okay, let's just look at the day. Are they overtired? Are they hungry? But when we get to the teen years or adult children, again, looking at those relationships, being honestly curious and being willing to be repentant builds intimacy in our relationships. And I think it makes richer, deeper relationships.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we forget sometimes that we're all human and it's easy to look at our kids once they grow up. They're still our babies in some ways, you know, in our mind. But they're adults now and they have their own lives and they're free to live their own lives and make their own choices. But I think there is conflict often when we are afraid. We're afraid if our child moves to another state, how that's going to impact our relationship. Are we going to get to see them because we love them so much, right? So I know a lot of parents who have struggled with their adult children when they move a million miles away, and it's a struggle. So different things like that, and just being honest about our feelings and communicating those hurts instead of lashing out, I think is a healthier way to do that. So your book is about the silly things, ridiculous things that we say to moms. And and building on the deeper core issues that we need to be discussing.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to share in regard to that?
One of the things that I think is a theme throughout the book, and it's a kind of the framework, is Psalm 84. And it says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage." And it goes, it's so beautiful, but that phrase, "my heart is set on pilgrimage." A pilgrimage is a long journey with often with a spiritual significance. And I think for motherhood, that's just a beautiful definition of motherhood. It is a lifelong journey that's deeply spiritually significant for us and for our kids. And so one of the things I talk about is holding the long view. And I kind of use my phone as an example, especially now I'm zooming in a lot of times to see, you know, people's faces or to be able to read things more clearly. But sometimes we need to zoom the lens out and we need to remember that this is a lifelong journey and our kids are on a journey. And so it means that we don't have to solve every problem today. We don't have to fix everything today. What I see right now that may be concerning me is part of the process. And so that is helping, whether your kids are little or whether you are in this phase of life and you have grown kids and there's things that worry you and concern you, just to know that God is patient and He's working and we are all works in process and we are works in progress. And so I love that theme of holding the long view. My sister and I will say it to each other often. My friends and I will remind each other, we're holding the long view. This is a long road and it's a process. That's just been so encouraging for me.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I love that. That is so encouraging if we can remember that.
Yeah.
I'll have to start saying that to my friends. Hold the long view.
Holding the long view.
A little.
Yeah. And trusting that God is working, you know. And
yes.
There's one, I just want to share one thing. This is very recent and vulnerable, but one of my daughters, we've gone through a difficult time just supporting her through a difficult time. And as I pray for her, I pray a lot of the Psalms and Proverbs where it talks about God keeping us on the path and holding our feet to the path and broadening the path beneath our feet so our ankles don't turn. And this has been really wrapped up with my anxiety as I am worried and I just want her to stay on the right path. And I had a picture in my head as I was praying about that verse, "Lord, you know, hold her feet to the path." And I just felt like I had this realization that I am not the one holding her feet to the path. It's God. And I literally had this picture in my mind of me on my hands and knees, like trying to hold on to her ankles to keep her on the path and to keep her going in the right direction. And I thought, you can't steer somebody by holding on to their ankles. All you do is you get dragged around behind them. Or when I shared it with my husband, he said, it's also a tripping hazard to be holding on to someone's ankles. And it was just such a, again, it goes to that, the way being aware of how my own anxiety, my lack of control, how if I don't get a handle on that with the Lord's help, it can be detrimental to my child, an adult child who is trying to find her way forward. And so just remembering that we are not the ones who hold them to the path. We are not the ones who complete the good work that God started in them. We are not the ones who save them. We are not the ones who keep them. It's all God. And really, this has been the hardest season for me as a mom, for sure. Just entrusting my kids to Him and trusting that He loves them more than I do.
That's beautiful, Becky. And I feel like that's really a beautiful final advice to our audience who are mostly midlife listeners.
Yeah.
To think about that as they're, whether they have teenagers or they have adult children going forward, it is really so important that we do that.
Mm-hmm.
Any final words that you'd like to share with the audience?
I just consider it a gift to be able to walk alongside moms. I think the final thing I would just say is find a community of other women to walk with you. If, I mean, it's great that you're listening to this podcast. And just continue to look for ways that you can build connection with other women, because that has been my lifeline from the time I was an early adult before I even had children. I've always been in groups, whether it was Bible studies or women's groups or getting together with friends, making that a priority. I just think we were not meant to do this alone. So let's do it together. It's so much better to do it together. So thank you for having me on.
It's been
a blessing. Yeah.
Well, where can my audience find you online?
So you can find me on Facebook and Instagram under my name. And then on my website, which is BeckyBaudouin.com, you can actually, there's a couple things there. First of all, I love to cook. You mentioned that in the bio. So I have a whole recipe page with a lot of my favorite recipes. But you can also read the first three chapters of either one of my books for free on the homepage. You can sign up with your email and you can get kind of a sample of what the book would be like. So for Enjoy Every Minute and Other Ridiculous Things We Say to Moms, you could click on that and you could get the first three chapters for free that way.
And tell them about, just tell them the link for the other book, the title of the other book.
My first book is called Cancer, Faith, and Unexpected Joy. What My Mother Taught Me About How to Live and How to Die. It's a beautiful story about my mom and just walking with her on her journey with cancer and as she went home to be with the Lord.
Yeah, that's a beautiful book too. So ladies, if you resonate with either one of those, I would encourage you to go to Becky's website, and I'll put the link in the bio, in the show notes, because I know her name is a little hard to spell. You want to spell your name for everybody, your last name?
Sure. Yeah. It's BAUDOUIN. It's a lot of vowels and you got to get them in the right place or you'll need them. But you know what? You probably will find it even if you type it in wrong, but yeah, it's a tricky one.
It is. So I will definitely put those links in the show notes to Becky's website so you can find it. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Becky. It's been such a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my honor.
I hope you enjoyed our discussion with Becky today. I love that as midlife women, we have the chance to show a younger generation of moms how to find rhythms of grace in parenting, let alone every other sphere of life. Perfectionism in anything can rob us of so much joy. I know, because it has been a lifelong struggle for me too. I hope today's episode sparks some conversations with your daughters and with other women around you, whether they are moms or not. Living out rhythms of grace is a continual pursuit throughout our lifetime. Next week on the podcast, we will be hearing from Jamie Hurd, the founder of Faithfully Restored Ministry that serves women of all ages experiencing loss. So I hope you will tune in next week to be inspired by another midlife woman doing amazing work in the world. Thanks for tuning in today. And remember, midlife is just a brand new season to find your passion and purpose for your grand finale. Talk next week.